Hi, and welcome to I Know You Meant Well, a podcast brought to you by the Activist Collab.
I am Ashley Bearden, and I'm joined today with Activist Collab members Nina Schubert and Meredith Hutton.
Hi.
Hello.
So before we get started today, I want to alert anyone listening that we are going to be discussing the topic of suicide and self-harm. So if these topics are sensitive or triggering, this might be an episode that you want to skip. With that being said, let's go ahead and start the conversation. One thing I wanted to talk about also before we get too far into it is terminology and the way we want to talk about the language we want to use around the topic of suicide and suicide prevention. I know I just want to kind of be on the same page so that we're all talking about it in a way that is sensitive to anybody that might be listening.
Yeah, I definitely think that we have to be careful when talking about suicidal ideation and suicidal thoughts, because they can be completely different at times and used in the wrong context. With suicidal thoughts, it's more of I'm having these feelings, I don't have a plan, I'm just kind of having a really tough time right now, I don't really feel like living is what's best for me, I feel like other people might be better off without me. Versus suicidal ideation is more like, okay, this is my plan, I'm gonna do it at set time, or even just kind of like not even having a set time but having a plan in place. So you always want to be careful when those, especially if you're asking somebody that question, like, are you having suicidal thoughts versus like, do you have a plan? And so another one to be careful with is definitely going to be died by suicide versus committed suicide, because the person who passes away by suicide is not committing a crime. They haven't done something wrong. They are most likely in a place where they felt this was the only option left, and they are struggling and they didn't feel like they could reach out to help. And so they weren't committing a crime. They were just finally at a point where they didn't know where else to go.
Great. Okay. Those are good. Does that sound right to you, Meredith?
Yeah. It's crazy that even as a mental health activist, I didn't even know about the certain language we have to use. So it's so important that we're having these conversations. I think today it's really important we talk about how can we support someone dealing with suicidal thoughts and in that mental state. And I know that I've had a lot of experiences with my friends my own age. I mean, I'm only 16 and a lot of my friends have reached this state and I had no idea. I can think of a story in particular with one of my friends this past summer, and it wasn't until she was actually in the psych ward in the hospital that I realized that she was suicidal. I mean, I thought she was happy, I thought she was fine, and I didn't even think to check in on her. I think that a big problem for a lot of us is that we rely on that outward appearance and those smiles, and we are so focused on ourselves that we don't realize to check in on the people that are smiling the most, because that can be their mask and we don't know what's going on underneath the surface. But it was quite interesting because I did not know how to support her, and I wasn't mentally prepared to know what to do once she got out of the mental hospital. What do I say to her? And I think a lot of the time we don't end up saying anything at all because we don't want to say the wrong thing. But I think that's the worst thing you can do. And I know that when I've been in that state, when everyone goes silent, that makes me feel so shameful for how I'm feeling and like there's something wrong with me.
Yeah. How did you end up, talking to your friend about it? Have you guys talked about it even since then? I hope she's feeling better.
Yeah, she is feeling better. I sent her a long message and I just told her the importance that she has in my life. I imagine that she probably, you know, when you're in the mental hospital, everybody now knows about what was going on. Before, it was private. What was in your mind was in your mind. But now everyone knows your story. So I didn't want to make her feel like I was another person that was invading her privacy. So I didn't ask her the details. I just kind of let her know the influence she's had on my life and then offered to do something fun with her to take her mind off it, instead of treating her like I was walking on eggshells. Because I think a lot of the time when we find out people have depression, and we can make them feel more excluded because we try to treat them differently and nicer, but it ends up just making them feel like you're babying me. So I didn't want to be like, oh, you know, all tiptoeing around her. So I was like, let's do something fun. Let's take your mind off it. And then I just started checking on her over the next couple of weeks, but not in the way that I was like, are you okay? Talk to me. Cause I think that's asking too much. We just said, you know, what's your number on the scale? 1 to 10, how are you doing? Do you want to do something fun today? That was just the more simple way for us and what she needed in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nina, I think we were talking about this the other day and you had some thoughts too, because I know that you've had some experiences that you've bravely shared with us, and wondered if you might be able to do that now.
Yeah. So from a very young age, I struggled with depression. I lost my father when I was 9 years old, and I kind of built this wall up, and I was like, I don't know how to process this. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm kind of just going to throw it in a box in the corner and not deal with it. And when I turned about 12 or 13, I started to really struggle with depression, but I didn't know what it was. Nobody was talking about it. It wasn't taught in schools. So I was just kind of like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Like, nobody else I know feels this way. And I'm super shameful about it. And I didn't know how to reach out. I didn't know who to talk to about it. So I kind of just let it build up and build up. And I was at a point where I was starting to not have good self-worth. I was struggling with my thoughts, and I kept telling myself like, oh, everyone would have it easier if I wasn't here. Like, I'm too much of a burden. I'm causing too many issues. I can't do anything right. And that's kind of how my mind spiraled for a very long time. And it took some of my friends going to a teacher with me for me to get help for the first time. And so I was at a sleepover, and I remember it was like 2 in the morning, and it was a group of us from my school. And I told them, I was like, I'm just really sad all the time. And I just don't feel like I belong here sometimes. And like, I don't know if I want to be here. And I got so lucky with my friends, because like, they weren't necessarily 100% sure what to do, but they were like, okay, we need to talk to a teacher about this because they're going to have more information than us. So we went to a teacher who I trusted and I still trust to this day. And my friends literally got me to meet with her. They stayed in the room with me and just showed support. Cause like, I was so scared to talk about it that like, I'm in this room with my teacher and my two friends, and I'm just staring at the table because I was like, I don't know if I can say it in a setting in front of an adult, because if it gets back to my mom, she's going to be so sad and disappointed. I need to be strong for her because she already lost her husband. And like, I just kept telling myself I needed to be this strong person when I didn't have to. I was allowed to be upset. I was allowed to not be okay. And that was kind of the first step in realizing that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay if you need extra support, if you need someone to help you with something. And so my school did get involved, and they were able to kind of get me with a therapist and things like that. And I ended up actually getting hospitalized when I was about 15 for the first time. And I was very, I didn't know how to feel when I was getting hospitalized, because it can be a very scary moment because it's new for you. You've never had an experience like this. And when I was 15, it wasn't very talked about. People didn't share their experiences about being in a psychiatric unit or a mental hospital. And I was just blown away with the support of the staff and how much they cared about me and my health when they didn't even know me. And so to go into the hospital and spend a week really talking with therapists, talking with doctors, doing programs where I learned skills on how to manage what was going on in my life completely gave me this new input on life. It's like, okay, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can actually get through these things that I didn't think I could get through. And so it was really hard though, because I've continued to struggle over the years. It's not something that just kind of magically disappears after a hospital stay. You learn how to manage it, and you learn how to talk to people about it. And I've had people say very insensitive things. And I think the other big thing is that there wasn't the education back when I was a teenager. And so I had somebody before that first time, I did talk to a different friend about how I was feeling. And she had told me, you're not suicidal, you just want attention. And that locked me up for 2 years because I was like, she's right. Like maybe I am doing this for attention, when in reality, I had told her in confidence. I wasn't sharing this with everybody. I was just like, I didn't know what else to do. So I confided in somebody I thought I could trust with this. But at the same time, like, she had no education. She had never experienced someone telling this to her. She was 11 years old herself. And so it's very hard to not know what to do because you've never been in this situation before. Mm-hmm. And I've also had people continually tell me that when I share my story on Instagram or things like that, like, oh, you're doing this for attention. You're not suicidal. And just a continuance of those sorts of things. It's like, well, people have it worse. And that's kind of one of the worst things you can say to somebody when they're struggling in the moment, because they already feel guilty about how they are feeling. And for someone to be like, well, be grateful you have this, this, and this. And it's like, just because I have those things in my life doesn't mean that other things in my life aren't causing a struggle.
Right.
And so I think it's really important when somebody does, if somebody does come up to you and say, hey, I'm really struggling right now, or I don't feel comfortable, I don't feel safe, and things like that. Like, it's very important to tell them, like, thank you for trusting me. Thank you for coming to me and trusting me with this information. And if they're just kind of, there's different ways you're gonna have to approach things. If they're like, I have a plan, that's when you need to get medical professionals involved. You need to be reaching out. If you know they have a therapist, if you can get their information. If you know their parents are somebody they can trust, reach out to the parents. If you know they're in school and there's a teacher that could be helpful, reach out to that teacher, because you're not equipped to handle that situation. And there's people who have gone to school for a very long time to know what to do in these situations. And if it's, they're just kind of like, I'm just really struggling right now and I just need someone to talk to, or I just need to get my thoughts out. Just asking them, what can I do to support you in this moment? If you don't think there is a threat to their life in that moment, asking them, how can I support you? And then if you don't feel even comfortable with that, being like, I'm going to help you find someone who can support you in that moment. And there's so many great organizations out there. There is, like I said, like, a lot of teachers, professors, people are trained in this profession and to deal with these crises. There's the suicide prevention hotline. There's the crisis text line. There are so many different resources out there. So to get educated in those and kind of have those in your toolbox is definitely a great way to support someone if they do reach out to you.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we'll link to those resources in our show notes as well.
Nina, thank you for sharing all of that. That was really opened my mind to, I think, some perspectives I never have experienced personally. And I'm really grateful for that knowledge. I guess one thing I think that happened to me when, before my friend had went to the mental health hospital and everything had escalated, was that when I was hanging out with her, she was a little bit more irritable and getting mad more easily. And I took those moods really personally. And I remember my friends and I discussing it, like, you know, what's going on with her? Like, why is she like this? We don't really want to hang out with her. And little did we know was that was a lot of the symptoms of her depression. And I just think that it's so easy when people are in that state to personalize their moods. And I'm not saying that it's an excuse, but we personalize their moods and we're like, oh, you know, they're not answering our messages. Oh, they're getting angry so quickly. They're having these mood changes so quickly. And it doesn't click in our brain right away. Wait, are these warning signs? You know, and I think that that's a big thing that, it's okay if you've taken it personally, but I feel like I just know from my own experience how much I made it about myself, and it's not about that. And even after someone has died by suicide, it's so sad because we get so caught up in the regret that we didn't do more, but we're taking the attention off of that person, and that, you know, we can't change the past. And I just feel like when you see your friend acting different than they normally do, that's when you come in and you don't say, I don't want to be friends with them anymore. I don't want to hang out with them anymore. Obviously, you need to put in boundaries and realize your worth and don't do anything that harms your mental health, but also be like, maybe I should think about where they are at mentally and how they are doing. And yeah, I guess that would be a big lesson that I learned in trying to support my friends through mental health problems.
Yeah, I think those are really good things to bring up, or yeah, mood changes and warning signs to look for. And, you know, we are not professionals here. We are not mental health professionals at all, but we are, you know, people that have all had a brush with, you know, with depression and have known people and experienced it ourselves and have known people that have struggled with it. And so I think that sharing these experiences, real lived experiences, is actually incredibly valuable as well.
I definitely think that something else to remember is kind of like Meredith said, like when someone does die by suicide, it is something that can be a complete shock to some people, because a lot of people are very good at hiding what's going on in their lives and putting up this front and being like, no, I'm fine. Like, I'm good. Like, I'll just keep putting up this illusion. And if you are struggling firsthand with these thoughts or the urge to act on them, definitely reaching out can be so incredibly scary. And by going to someone you trust or reaching out to a resource that does provide services is going to help. And it's definitely a very big first step to take, but at the same time, people care about you. People want the best for you. People don't want you to go through these sorts of things. And when I lost somebody firsthand to suicide, they died by suicide, I saw how much of an effect it had on other people's lives. And it just made me realize, like, this is not, it's tough because when you are in that mindset, sometimes you can't, it's all rational thinking goes out the window. You're kind of just in a very intense moment and you're just like, this is it. This is the best option. And I think something for me that when I would have those really intense urges was reminding myself of the people I cared about, and whether that was texting them or just looking back at photos or videos or trying to write down memories I had and things like that with that person. Because those tough days can be so hard. And at this moment in time, you've survived 100% of the bad days life has thrown at you. And by reaching out to somebody who specializes in this, they can help get you the resources, whether that's a therapist, a hospitalization, maybe medication or things like that. By taking that step, you're taking back your life and you're working to take back that control from depression. And the things that I've experienced in life that I never thought I'd experience are still to this day mind-blowing for me. And these things wouldn't happen if I didn't ask for help.
I love that, Nina. I want to add on just quickly to what Nina said about the rational thinking when you're in that mindset. And I think I've realized in supporting my friends through this is that there's some things when you're in that mindset and when you're in that frame of mind of being suicidal, you don't hear things how you would when you're doing okay. To say, I'm here for you, to say, you're amazing, to give just different compliments, as much as the intention behind them is so great, they're not necessarily going to go into that person's brain and into that person's mindset in the same way. And that has nothing to do with you. And I'm sure they appreciate you trying, but just know that people in that mental space are not hearing how you might hear that. You know, you might hear, I'm here for you, and be like, oh, that's really nice. But in that mindset, you'd be like, no, you're not. No one cares about me. And obviously everyone's experience is different, and that may not be the case for every suicidal person, but I think it's really important to be wary of our language and don't say, you know, cliche, don't therapize them. If they're your friend, I think trying to be as relatable as possible, not saying, I get that, when you don't get that. I understand how you're feeling when you don't understand. I think just being aware that they can enter a mindset where what you say may go in one ear and out the other ear, and it's hard, but try your best to work on your language and be as authentic when speaking to them as possible.
Definitely. I think my one thing for takeaway, as always, as I always say, is kind of like, if you're struggling, no, you don't have to fight your battle alone.
I think that's really important advice too. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for this conversation. I think this is full of a lot of really valuable information. And yeah, like I said, we'll link to some of the organizations that we mentioned in the show notes. And yeah, thank you guys for being here. And we'll look forward to talking to everybody next week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about the Activist Collab, you can follow us on Instagram at The Activist Collab or online at theactivistcollab.com. New episodes of I Know You Meant Well will be coming out every Thursday, so we'll talk to you next week.